everyone, welcome back. So, we watched off number 191, I believe. I forgot to look up the number. So it's the show passed last week for the use keeping score at home. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. You know, I'm sure some guys will be disappointed that they missed behind-the-scenes talk that we decided not to say for the show with probably good reason, because one of us, we're basically doing our all-in-the-family routine that we do sometimes.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You can't help who you are.
Oh. You know, it's funny you say that line, because that line comes up in Angels Fallen. A character said that exact, you know, we are who we are right before he does some nasty stuff, so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was disappointed. When did that movie come out? I don't think that was... Weekend. That was... Oh, it was just last week?
Mm-hmm. It came out this past weekend.
All right. I don't think they promoted that very well.
It was number one. It made it made as much as, like, the last one came out, like, opening weekend. So, no. Gerard Butler is, like, a perfect... He's one of those people, if your budget's small enough, you're going to make money, because people got to see him. He's, like, a perfect B-movie star.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, what else has he done besides these lately?
I mean, he just does action. Now, it's funny. He started off with, like, when he got big action, and then he did a whole bunch of rom-coms that actually made a lot of money. And then ever since the Olympus Has Fallen, he's just been doing action movies.
That's right. He did that weird weather movie, right?
Geostorm. Yeah. You know, Prince of Egypt. Gods of Egypt.
Yeah, whatever. The less said about that, the better. So,
but it's mostly been this movie. Oh, and Den of Thieves, which is also getting a sequel. So
I've got that recorded. I keep forgetting to watch that.
It's just the theatrical version that comes on TV. It's like 2.5 hours. I watched the extended version, so I didn't realize the regular version was that long. But no, that's his wheelhouse. You know, movies that's budget between $20 to $40 million. That makes profits because people like him. He's like this gruff old man with a heart that they don't really have. You don't really have people like that, like that does what he does anymore.
Yeah, because Bruce Willis doesn't have a heart anymore.
They aged out. Bruce Willis aged out. Jason Statham's kind of smoother than Gerard Butler. Yeah, and there's nobody that's like really burly like that. That actually makes movies in the theaters that people want to see. Like, basically, he took Russell Crowe. He's like a Walmart version of Russell Crowe, if that makes sense.
There's Russell Crowe. He doesn't do a whole lot anymore.
He did a Showtime series where he pretended to be like Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, has that even come out yet?
Yeah, it just finished.
God damn, man. I gotta get it together. I am far off of stuff.
I was so thrown off. I watched a little bit of it. I'm like... That's Russell. They do the makeup and stuff. They do. I'm like, wait a second. That's Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
That old ass fat man. I'm like,
he legit does not like Rupert Murdoch. So I would be very, I'll be very curious to watch that. Then I still like him, but I know he's like not supposed to be the greatest person, supposedly.
I mean, we are who we are. So
exactly.
But no, I saw Angels Falling with Darlene. She actually enjoyed it a lot. She really liked Nick Nolte. I was surprised. So.
A guy I'm surprised still gets work, but it's Hollywood.
He fits that role now. He's basically that asshole dad that left the house when he's 35 and comes back when he's 70. Because he seems like, Incredible Hulk. He left his family.
Yeah.
Warrior, he left his family. This one, he left his family. So that's his niche. I'm the guy that leave your family, come back, because I'm grizzled and wise, and he's playing a regular old mountain man, and it's very believable.
What a rough typecasting. You can't be like the jovial old guy. You got to be the gruff guy that, not on top of that, leaves your family behind.
I mean, it's, you know how you turn on the news, some guy like 65-year-old man tried to blow up a post office and they have a wild looking picture. That's what he looks like right now.
Yes. Yeah, well, I know he had his problems with booze again, so.
Yeah, but no. But the movie was fun. It was enjoyable. Of course, Danny Huston's in it, and he's the villain, because whenever he's in the movie, I always make the joke, it's either him or Brian Cox. We want an old middle-aged villain with some gravitas, so they either call one or the other. And I put on Twitter, I'm like, it got to be a running joke, because they both played William Stryker in X-Men movies.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So it's like, Jesus. Yeah, we either get one or we get the other, because it's going to always be one or two. They always put it like, if he's in a movie and you surprise that he's the villain, then you don't pay attention.
What was the plot of this one? They frame him for being... Yeah.
Okay. For attempting to murder the president. Like, Morgan Freeman is the current president now. So he was speaker in the first one. He was vice president in the second one. Now he's president. He gets framed for attempting to murder the president and, like, murdering his whole Secret Service team. And he's on the run trying to clear his name.
All
so
right. Do they like, acknowledge the fact that that's pretty silly considering all he's done for the presidents in the other movies?
It comes out on both sides because they're like, you know, this man's because the president's in a coma for a lot of the movies, so he can't defend his, you know, he can't defend him until he wakes up. And some people are like, you know, this man defended a lot for his country. Other people are like, well, you know, he thought he might get passed over for a job for, you know, Secret Service director. He's been hiding, like, concussions and stuff like that. He got $10 million in his account. He got, you know, he might be working for the Russians. So there's enough stuff in there that's kind of like, oh, you know, maybe, maybe not. He might be disillusioned and stuff. And we've seen how many times Ethan Hunt had to go through this in Mission Impossible.
That's what I was about to bring up, too, yeah.
So, and Jada Pink is in there trying to get to the bottom of things until you get the front of a gun, so.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I've seen all the other ones off of Netflix, and I think I'm just probably continue that streak, so.
I mean, it's a nice, fun movie that doesn't waste time, and there's a post-credit scene that's actually hilarious, like him, Gerard Butler, Nick Nolte, like one of those, you know, flotation pools when you're trying to relax and stuff like that, and it's like, yeah, one of those, you know, old people trying to do young things that they play for laughs that's actually funny, because Nick Nolte's in decent shape for an old man. He's showing with no shirt. I'm like, oh, he's not embarrassing himself. No. Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, that'd be nice. How the hell do you do that? I can't do that. I'm 45. We have the same tendencies. So. Anyways, no, that's cool. Yeah, that'll be one I wait for. I guess we could save it for the end, but do you have your tickets for It yet?
No, because I got to see what my work schedule is when I go see it. Cause I know we're going to see that. Like, we saw a previous game when we went to see Radio Not this past weekend. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to see it. And I know he's directing The Flash next.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah. He'll drop out. What, it's almost September. He'll drop out in what, November, December?
I mean, he'd be like, what, the third or fourth director?
I think it would legitimately be the third one, yes.
He might be the fourth. Like, I know he at least the third. So, good Lord. It's like, I mean, maybe because it's like, now it's the internet, so we hear about the stuff like that. Like, it's always take a long time to make certain movies. We just didn't, like, pay attention like we do now. Like, this movie's, like, between this and Batman, it's like, are y'all ever making these?
Well, isn't Batman at least filming now?
It's finally at the point where they start hiring people. But they hired people for The Flash, like, a long time ago. The problem was, like, a director. This one was, like, Batman's thing was, you know, we can't figure out a script.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is the absolute disarray DC Comics movies were, too. Or DC Warner, whatever. I don't know what they're calling that yet, but... Yeah, because it's been a long... They had him cast in Superman Batman. Then they had... What else was there? Justice League, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's when it really fell apart after that. I mean, how weird is it that a Shazam movie came together quicker than a Flash movie did?
And that took a long time, too. Because they were trying to figure out how to go with that and everything. And they finally, you know, it was like, remember when Shazam first came out, The Rock was going to be in it.
Yeah, yes.
When they announced. Yeah, so no, it's funny. I was looking at that. Batman versus Superman came out in 2016.
My God.
It's 2019.
It's only been 3 years?
Yes.
When did Justice League come out? 17?
Like, Justice League ain't that old. Either 17 or 18. 17.
Seriously, yes, that came out in 2016?
Yes.
That's nuts, man. I could have swore that was 7 years ago already.
It just seems like it because all that stuff. No, because it's like everything came out all at that time because you had Batman versus Superman, and then you had Suicide Squad, and then right after that you had Wonder Woman, then you had Justice League, and then it started to slow down. It's like, okay. It didn't feel like it started to slow down until like Aquaman and Shazam came out. But keep in mind, Shazam came out this year, and Aquaman came out Christmas.
Man, things happen so fast. It honestly feels like Shazam was a year ago already. And it's, yeah, that's right, because it just came out on like Blu-ray and all that stuff. Not just, but it hasn't even been on Blu-ray that long.
Yeah, no, time, I thought it was like a lot longer. I thought it was like 4 or 5 years ago. It's like, no, it's only been 3.
Wow.
And so many things have changed.
Yeah. Superman's maybe not even in the universe now. Well, the guy playing Superman, I should say. Batman, he gone. Wow.
They're not sure about Superman. They got a different Batman. Wonder Woman is their main. Wonder Woman and Aquaman, their main characters. And yeah, so like time flies. Oh, yeah. I know trailers for Birds of Prey will be coming soon.
Okay, so since we're on trailers, we haven't gotten a Wonder Woman one yet, which is kind of weird. But I know that's next year. But that movie's been done. Isn't that been done for a while?
I mean, the filming, I guess they're working on the special effects part now. So, because originally the plan was it for it to come out this year.
Right.
And then they moved it the next summer because, like, it was supposed to, we wanted for the summertime, which kind of makes sense because the winter would have been way too crowded as it is. Yeah. So.
Well, I know Warner's also, for like bottom line, they did this with Harry Potter as well. If they have a successful year, they will move movies just to make sure their next year is successful. Which is very strange because it was when the last Batman movie came out, Dark Knight Rises? Yeah, Rises. That Harry Potter was supposed to come out that year as well, and they moved them. They moved the schedule around because they're like, we don't need $2 billion movies in 1 year. Which is hilarious to say now.
And it's funny because it's like, we got to keep the stock prices up. Like, only Disney don't have to worry about spreading stuff out because there's like,
Yeah.
We just make what we make. Like, it's just funny thinking about that before $1 billion, like this big thing that you really hit. And Marvel had 3 movies this year and they all hit $1 billion.
Yeah, isn't it going to be kind of considered a disappointment now if your movie, especially for Marvel/Disney, Disney Pixar for that matter.
I mean, I think it depends on the scale of the movie. And I would say, Marvel 2 plus, because I guess Spider-Man cast is a Sony movie since they, did spent the money, did the thing. But yeah, it's just the nature of movies. Like, I talked about it with my friend Jeff. It's like how movies are now. You either go real big or real small. You either spend in anywhere between $2 to $40 million, or you spend in like $120 and up. Like, that whole $70-80 million range is rare. Like John Wick 3, I think, was like $70 million. Most time you're not spending that much on like an R-rated movie if you're not, you think you hit the margin. Either you're spending a whole lot because you think you're going to make a lot, or you're spending a little bit to hedge your bets because what's the old complaint? They don't make movies like that more. Like, when they talk about that, they're talking about like the General's Daughter. Those are movies. Like, those movies now come out on Netflix.
You must really hate that movie.
No,
because every time you mention that, that's your example, by the way.
Yeah, like, the Bone, like the Bone, I could have said the Bone Collector, but like those movies, Ashley Judd, basically, the Ashley Judd type movies of Johnson, those whole $80-90 thriller movies.
Yeah.
They don't make those anymore because it's like, if they do, it might be like Gone Girl. That's like once in a blue moon. But it's, kind of like those movies now come out like on Netflix. Because even when they try to make them, people don't see them. Like, Widows was an awesome movie nobody wanted to see.
I think that might be on cable now.
Yeah, it is.
All right, I've got that ready to record too.
So yeah, it's like, you can't say they don't make movies like this anymore and complain about sequels and stuff when they make the movies you say you want to see, you don't see them, and people just want to see sequels. Like, basically, if it wasn't for John Wick and Hobbs and Shaw, The only movies that made money was like Disney movies.
What did I don't have anything in front of me. What did Warner Brothers even put out this year?
Because their franchises
are kind
Godzilla.
Was that Warner?
That's them and Legendary, I think, like hand in hand. Which didn't make because they spent too much. They didn't make as much as like the last two, and it cost a lot of money. Shazam.
Oh yeah. You just mentioned that.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I mean, the year's been weird. Where it's like it's been horror movies and Marvel, Disney, and then like John Wick, and Hobbs and Shaw, and then a whole bunch of sequels that bombed. Is basically what it's been.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What? Man, I'm having a rough time today. But I'm trying to think. What other sequels came out this year? Well, Angel Has Fallen, I guess, would be.
Yeah.
But
Men in Black and Men in Black.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
The Godzilla one. What else? I'm trying to think. It was some. You mean ones that came out, or ones that were successful?
I'll tell you what, now one's, well, I guess Avengers counts as a sequel, right?
Like, Avengers, and then, what else?
Spider-Man.
Remakes, like you had The Lion King, you had Aladdin, that both were, well,
okay,
Dumbo
right.
Didn't. Toy Story 4.
I was just about to say, can we stop using Disney movies?
Yeah, like, if you're talking about what movies made money, it wasn't Disney movies, it's like, John Wick 3, Hobbs and Shaw, jeez. Us, Glass, which was also a sequel. Like, yeah, it's mostly been sequels.
What a weird time, man.
I mean, people like, yeah. It's what happened has been streaming services and TV being prestige. It's changed how we watch stuff, where there's things that normally be in a movie theater, like that movie The Irishman.
Yeah, would you read about that? They can't even secure a wide release for it.
Yeah, because they like, the theater's like, yeah, we'll do it if you don't release on Netflix for 90 days. And they like, well, what about 30 days or 40 days? And they're like, no. So they're like, all right. So it's just imagine, like, now you got these budgets, like $150-200 million budgets, that's like, it's just gonna go on Netflix.
And they said most of that money is for the de-aging effects.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
I mean,
it's,
that's
it's
a whole
weird
thing.
A Scorsese movie costs that much. You know what I mean?
If you're gonna do it, you gotta do it right.
Yeah, especially because this could be like, he's old. He's not that old.
Yeah, but it's something that he's wanted to do for a long time, and he waited for the technology to catch up with it. And then that works, then you don't have to. It's point out, like somebody pointed at Captain Marvel, the de-aging worked fine until Samuel L. Jackson had to run, and then you realize that is not a young man. So it's like some stuff you can't fake. So.
So you brought him up, and we get to trip back to the trailers in a second. So I rewatched Endgame for the first time since seeing it in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was way better the second time. Even knowing what was coming, I thought like the emotional resonance, like everything hit way, way better. Or it hit more genuine. I don't know if that's the right way of saying it. Because since you knew it was coming, maybe I had like the effect of, all right, let this soak in. But I just enjoyed it way, way more the second time. And that final scene when all the Avengers, or you know, the current Marvel universe shows up, you've got Giant Man running, you've got Valkyrie on the horse. I mean, you've got all these people, and I just went, 10-year-old me's got to be going nuts. I mean,
I remember telling you that.
So it just, like, instead of just seeing, like, oh my god, this is really cool, like, wow, like, you're in the movie, you get to appreciate the things in it way more. At least I did, so. And then I didn't watch any of that, not outtakes, the added scenes or anything, so I'll have to go back and watch that, but that was just a quick aside. But yeah, so back on to the trailers part. And I guess going with Warner Brothers, a movie that we openly laughed at and then slowly came around to, Joker put its They said last trailer, but would this be considered its first?
No.
Because the other one was like a teaser.
I mean, that's just semantics. Yeah. I mean, if it's like 2 minutes, then ain't no damn teaser.
But yeah, what did you think?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically kind of like, I don't know. Like, you hear stuff talking about they want to, you know, have it, you know, basically have it there for like Oscar buzz.
And that's what I read, that I don't know if there's been pre-screenings or not, but there, I saw like different headlines about how this could be Oscar worthy.
And I'm like, how a Todd Phillips standalone Joker origin story is a prestige movie. I mean, it's just weird. I have no idea, you know. And then they talk about, you know, well, maybe if it does well enough, maybe we'll do a sequel. Like, what is, I'm kind of like, when we first heard about it, we were like, why are they doing this? And then we start seeing more and more stuff. It's like, I don't know, but it's kind of intriguing. And there's like, the more you hear about it, the more you see, it's like, you know, I'm just at the point, like, I have no idea where it is. But like, you know, it seems like, what's that movie, King of Comedy with Robert De Niro?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, and of course you have Robert De Niro in that movie, in this movie, and it's kind of like, what's going on? And I keep thinking, like, you know, I'm very interested to see it. I'm looking forward to see it. I have no idea what it's going to be. And it's been a long time since it's been a movie like, you know, what's this?
Watching it, they gave when he was talking to his shrink or whatever, and he goes, "You're not listening. I always have bad thoughts." And I'm like, "Oh, this is what. All right, so this is how it's gonna be." And so he is. I guess he is evil the whole time, but it just slowly comes up. And as somebody pointed out, I think it was in the comments, that the original Joker, you dropped in a vat of acid to get this incredible bad guy, and in this one, you just drop him into society. Like, and because he's just like making the kid laugh, and he's like, "Quit bothering my kid." I'm like, "Oh, all right. Well, I guess didn't really think of it that way, but I guess he kind of was. But damn,
so, he's like that sometimes."
Yeah, but the Robert De Niro thing, definitely from King of Comedy, but also that happens in The Dark Knight Returns as well. There's a talk show host talking shit, and then Joker goes and kills him. So that's what I'm guessing this is.
Yeah, and somebody was like, you know, this vibe, I don't know what's going on. You know, he beefing with these black women, and Zazie Beetz getting a kiss. You don't know how that's turning out, so I don't know. I'm like, at least he kissing a black woman. I never seen Batman kiss a black woman before, so.
Not in the movies, in the comics. Bruce Wayne's a slut, so.
No, I didn't say Bruce Wayne. I said Batman.
That's true. Well, you never see Batman kiss much of anybody, except Catwoman. Yeah. Did he ever kiss Eartha Kitt?
I don't know if they would let that slide back then. Like, William Shatner was doing that, and that was about it. That whole interracial thing back in the 60s.
Shatner was
the, like, the first, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Damn, all right, so yeah.
You had to be in space. You had to be in space to pull that shit out.
It's the good old days, you know.
Yeah, it's just that. I mean, off topic. No, remind me. Like, you ever see that James Bond movie? The one, which one? But Roger Moore, where they're like Jamaica and Harlem, and it's like voodoo involved.
No, what? No, I'm not a huge James Bond person, so.
Oh, that's right up your alley, because it's like a blaxploitation James Bond movie. He in there in the middle of Harlem, like getting like a fish sandwich, and he the only, like, imagine this British white guy with a suit on in like New York, and everybody else black. They all looking at him like, "You stepped in the wrong neighborhood. Like, what? Like, are you lost? Like, what's going on?" And he all oblivious, so like that. He's still doing his James Bond thing. He's still macking on. He just macking on the sisters instead of, like, his normal Pete. And Roger Moore was like, It don't make a difference to me. I'm cool with it. It shouldn't be an issue. And they try to make it like, he talked about how people try to make it be an issue. He like, whatever.
Well, aren't Roger Moore's James Bonds technically supposed to be the worst ones? Outside of like Timothy Dalton?
I think it's because he followed Sean Connery.
Okay. Well, I know, what was the one where he was, it was classically bad. He was snow skiing and all that shit. It was really bad. That was his last one, though, I believe.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about, yeah. But,
Is that Live and Let Die?
Like, it was some good ones, it was some bad ones, just like most of James Bond.
Yeah,
but true. Anyway, like, yeah. This whole Joker thing is just, I mean, people always say, you know, comic movies, they need to expand, do different type of things. And we started to see that. We've had heist movies, we had like political thrillers, we had westerns and stuff like that, and now it's like, you know, psychological drama movies.
Well, I had a really cool thought, but it's totally not going to happen. I would just, if this Joker movie takes place in a different universe, maybe, but I mean, I'm guessing it does. But anyways, because he's making out with ZZ Bats, and like, her origin's different, but what if she turns out to be like that version's Harley Quinn?
You can do whatever you want. It's your movie.
That'd be cool as hell.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. He's like, he said, we ain't following the comics, we tell our own story. You know, like, do what you, if it's, yeah. Here's the thing. People complain about canon and yada, 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 and I always say, if you make it good, they won't care. They will not care. They will, you know what they'll do? They'll change it in the comics. To match it.
Yeah, essentially. So, and then people complain about that too, but whatever.
Whatever. Like, you know, just Kingpin used to be white, so he wasn't.
Is he still a white guy in the comics?
He's still a white guy in the comics, but okay. I'm like, after Michael Clark Duncan played him in the movies, the next time he was on a cartoon, he was black.
Oh,
and
really?
Then he went, yeah, then he went back to being white. So it was like, yeah, you can do what you want.
Continuity, man. Yeah.
We made the joke. Oh, like, we've always said, you know, it's a whole generation of people like me. You say Green Lantern, and they think of a black guy.
Yes.
So, yeah. Or it's like, you know, as far as I know, Iris West, oh, she's black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know any better. Like, I'm just going by what I've seen. If I go by the TV show, what's, you know, cast in the movie, it's like, okay, that's what I got. If you're a different age, you're like, what's going on? Like, it is what it is. It's about, you know, your time frame.
Yeah, and also, it's, you know, like, the big argument or the drama that always comes around with this stuff is when they do gender swap or race swap, any of that stuff, right? I never once thought about it. And maybe it was because it was a different time, but when Michael Clark Duncan was cast as Punisher, sure, that would have been interesting, as Kingpin. It never once occurred to me, like, no, Kingpin's a white guy. I just thought, that guy's huge. That'll be awesome. And I wonder if the same thing happened back then, but we didn't have, like, this huge platform.
It was a complaint, and people definitely complain, I remember. What I have learned, I've told people all the time, is people complain less when it involves villains. They get mad when it's heroes, they change. When it's villains, they don't worry about it. When it's side characters, like, perfect example. I grew up for the longest time, as far as I knew, Harvey Dent was black. Because I had Billy Dee Williams, and I had the animated series. So when I see white-ass Tommy Lee Jones, I'm like, what's this? Of course, in the comics originally, he, you know, he's white.
Yeah.
But if he didn't, like, for me, I'm like, why Two-Face white? Like, that was my whole first, like, the first time I saw Tommy Lee Jones, I'm like, why is Two-Face white? He's been black as far as I know. But it wasn't like, you didn't really hear that much complaint to Harvey Dent, because, like, you know, it's a side character, it didn't matter. You definitely didn't hear a complaint when it was the cartoon. When it's heroes, people that care about, yeah. Like, all I gotta do, the moment somebody say, what about Batman? You hear all the sociological reasons and the final, there's no way possible that black man in that era of Gotham would ever be from a black, there were no rich families, and like, Gotham's fake. Don't be talking about, you know, all the black, you know, nobody from the, no black people from the Bronx would have grew up to move to Gotham, become rich, and gave birth to Batman. Like, what are you what are you doing? So when it's a villain, like, unless it was like the Joker, if it was a villain, people don't care. If it's a side character, people don't care that much.
Well, the Joker doesn't really matter who you have as the play it, as long as he's white. And I mean literal white, not pale skin. So, I mean, it's a clown, for God's sake. Yeah. Although, I mean, I guess they do have the clowns that wear just the red lips and that.
Here's a perfect example. Jamie Foxx was Electro. Nobody care. Electro's always been white. Oh, yeah. Nobody complained a bit. But when Michael B. Jordan was Johnny Storm, we did multiple shows about that. How him is related. Like, you heard all that crap. So, yeah. And then they made Sue be the adopted one.
And then the movie came out and everyone went, yeah, that was the least of our worries on this one.
Yeah, like we were complaining about the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Michael B. Jordan should have been like, yeah, Johnny Storm's white. I want out of this trash. Yeah, that would have been pretty funny if it turned out he was online, just constantly badmouthed, like, no, Johnny Storm's white only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he landed on his feet after that, so.
Oh, whatever.
I mean, it's funny because I was just thinking about Michael B. Jordan, like, he fits a perfect spot where it's not people doing what he does that's American.
What you mean?
No, because like Michael B. Jordan, whole thing is like he's handsome, but he's not dangerously handsome. He's he's got an edge, but he's like he's not super threatening. He's basically like he's like that spot Will Smith used to have when Will Smith was younger, and it's not a lot of young black actors that has that has that spot where you got a lot of young actors, but it's like, Chadwick Boseman, he's a little older, he does different things. Daniel Kaluuya, Boyega, British, so that's different. So it's like, if you want a type of movie where you want it, diverse, but it's like, I want something different, but something quote unquote America can like accept, you get Michael B. Jordan. And he's gonna have that spot until Denzel's son kicks him out that spot.
Which is probably next summer.
Coming soon. So Michael B. Jordan better get all the stuff he can get, or he better enjoy sharing. Because by this time next year, how we talking about Michael B. Jordan now is how we talk about John David Washington. And I was thinking about that because I was watching Ballers, and then the final season started, and his character got hit by a car. So I'm guessing I don't know if he's going to be in the rest of the season. I guess he'd be busy doing other stuff.
Oof. That's pretty rough. You get introduced. Well, not introduced, but is that how his character goes out? Getting hit by a car.
Yeah, he just re-signed a 2-year deal, and he's happy and everything like that. And he's like, yeah, look on my side. And boom! He walk in the middle of the street, walking backwards, talking about how good life is. And he kid. Oh, flips over the car, too.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Think you'll see that HBO, 30-minute HBO comedy, but yeah.
I don't know. Was Baller supposed to be a comedy? Because there was a lot of, the opening scene, Rock's, like, grabbing pills and all this stuff. It's like, damn.
I mean, it's a comedy with a lot of drama. Like, Rock and, like, last season, his whole thing was Rock against the NCAA. He was pissed because they basically let his brother to kill himself, and they screwing everybody else, so he beefed with them. And this year, he's trying to buy a team. Like, this is the last season, but, like, his whole thing now, like, they're trying to buy the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh.
So.
On a quick note on that, did you know that the owner of the Chiefs is a woman, and she's, like, 1,000 years old?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, because it's, like, what, Lamar Hunt's daughter or something like that? Yeah. Or Clark Hunt's daughter.
Oh, okay. No, I had no idea.
They keep it in that's the whole thing. It's, like, a lot of time you keep it in the family, and normally it does not work well, because normally those rich people be having doofus children.
What, you mean Al Davis's kid?
Al Davis's kid, James Dolan.
Oh God.
The damn Lakers. Like, if how many do, like, you think Jerry Jones son probably a numbskull too? Like, it's amazing how bad nepotism is.
Well, didn't Jones' kid work for Dallas?
He works for them now. He's the quote unquote GM. Like, whatever.
Oh, that's
Jerry Jones gonna have his greasy paws on that to the day he croaks. But it never felt like rich people rarely have successful, smart children. It's very hard to do. Extreme. Like, once you, like, super rich, because it's like, what's the incentive?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple kids that you never hear about, and I always thought this was probably a good idea, too. Remember Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf? They had, like, two kids. And I remember one sports guy going, whatever you do, just keep those kids as far away from a tennis racket as possible.
Yeah, because it's like you never...
Because there's nothing good going to come of that.
Yeah, like, unless, never. Like, it's more than likely you're not going to be as good as either one of your parents, and you're always going to be compared to them. So, like, yeah, Serena has a child. They ain't playing tennis. Like, no. Oh, you'd never be as good as your mama.
I think baseball is what, the only one where players have actually surpassed their
parents? Baseball and basketball.
Who in basketball? Oh, I guess Steph Curry.
No, oh, Klay Thompson.
I don't know much about basketball. So.
Yeah, like, it's basketball. It's funny when we get in an age where it's like, you know, LeBron and Dwayne Wade's kids about to be in college.
Oh, my, yeah, I know.
It's like, damn, how old are we?
I remember Keith Kachuk, a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
His kid was playing in a game, and I immediately hit Kevin up going, do you know Keith Kachuk has a kid? And that he's playing for, I think it was Philly or something. And he goes, what? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Because we used to, because Kachuk, he was not one of my favorites because he played for Arizona for a while, or Phoenix, whatever. But I just couldn't believe that. Like, I don't even know if the guy's in the league or not, but the whole point was we're getting old. And that was quite the surprise. So,
like, I remember, you know, like, hey, Seth Jones, his dad played basketball. I remember his dad when he played basketball in the 90s. And then it's like, yeah, I had a son and he becomes a defenseman in hockey. I'm like, how did that happen? Like, you play basketball and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna have a boy. And it's because, like, one, you don't see a lot of Black American hockey players anywhere. No. And then the fact that's like, your dad would play and made good money playing basketball, was known for playing basketball. It's like, what let them know? I was like, well, I don't want him going to my shoes to do some of it. It'd be like kind of like, you know, Barry Bonds had a son and he becomes a wide receiver.
Yeah. Young Barry. Well, I almost said young Barry Bonds. Early version of Barry Bonds, I could see being a wide receiver. But
It's like, you know, why? Because normally what happened is, you know, you either follow your father's footsteps or mother's footsteps or you don't do anything. So, yeah, but it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, anyways, the other trailer. Well, actually, there were two trailers that came out. I forgot to even talk to you about. So this will be new for the show. One that came out it wasn't so much of a trailer outside of, it's like a retrospective or whatever it was. It wasn't like a true traditional trailer. And we got some footage for The Rise of Skywalker. And you know, watching it going, yeah, this looks pretty cool. All right. I see what's going on here. And then all of a sudden, Rey pulls out a dual lightsaber, looking evil as hell at the end.
Mm-hmm. With the hoodie on, because of course.
And as we said offline, they're playing this one really close to the vest. I mean, this comes out in December, and we know nothing about this movie.
Good.
Yeah. Well, we know Billy Dee Williams is back because they showed him in a trailer. So, you know, that's fine. That's public knowledge.
I would just want to say I'm glad I live in a world where both Billy Dee Williams and Carl Weathers are both still alive and in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, how weird is that? When they showed that Mandalorian preview, I was like,
that came out after we did the show.
Yeah.
Last week.
I was like, what the hell? I forgot Carl Weathers was supposed to be in that. And by the way, yes, that's exactly where I was going. Billy Dee looked pretty good in the short too. So, because he had some health problems for a while.
Yeah, no, because I saw a picture was it Rob Naylor took? And it was a picture of Carl Weathers and Dolph Lundgren together. I'm like, not only they look good for their age, they look normal for their age. They don't like Sylvester Stallone looks.
Well, no one wants to see a weathered Rambo. So, you know.
We just saw a weathered Rocky. That's the thing that's throwing me off. It's like, and that's what's throwing me off about the Rambo like, you know, we'll go back to Star Wars. That's the thing that threw me off with the Rambo trailer. We just saw him being old and looking his age in those Creed movies. And it's like, okay, well, he's old. He looks his age, looks fine. Now all of a sudden, his face all puffy, and it's like, you don't look like the Expendables version anymore. You don't look like even like Rambo from the last Rambo movie. It's like, you just look like, what's going on? Like, you're not young. You can't look young. You just look like how Steven Seagal looks when he tries to look young. Be old and grizzled like Van Damme and Lundgren. Be grizzled like you were in Creed. Like, we're still seeing it anyway, so I don't know why I'm talking about that.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, really? But, okay. Yeah.
But no, I saw the you know, teaser trailer for, the, you know, Rise of Skywalker, and of course you see the double lightsaber red. She got the hoodie on and everything. It's like, is it a flashback? Is it a daydream? What's going on? It's like they've talked about the movie, but you don't really know about the movie.
Yeah. Well, all we really got was that short teaser, and then you got the this one, and mm-hmm. That's really it. I mean, well, that's what J.J. Abrams does, though. He makes movies that either you don't know exist, or you know he's making them, but you never hear any leaks. So yeah, he's got his stuff down.
Yeah, and of course it's like Disney ain't letting nothing leak unless they wanted to leak. So
that's
not surprising. And they probably might have like one more trailer and that'll be it.
Yeah, I guess they have to have I guess they have to have a proper trailer to give people an idea of what the movie's about.
No,
I agree with you. I'm saying they do, but I think that's what's going to happen.
The rules are different when you're Star Wars. Like, keep in mind, when Endgame came out, what did we learn from the trailers?
Everything they showed us was in the first, 10, 15?
Yeah.
For the most part? Yeah.
No, you saw a little bit of Thanos. You basically seeing them, like, recuperate and get back together. Like, you didn't. It's basically like movies like 3 hours, and you probably saw everything that was like in the first 10 minutes, a scene like an hour and a half in, and a scene from like near the end.
Yeah.
But not the very end, but like the last third, like, and that's it. Like, and people did not care. It's like, that's more than enough. And it's like, it's Star Wars. And it'll probably be the last Star Wars movie we'll have for a little while anyway. So
that's what I was going to ask you, because this one even very clearly said for the end of the story or something like that. That surprised me, because this is a cash cow.
I mean, you're going to have Star Wars movies, but I think they learned it's kind of like, we don't need to have them every year. Space them out, make them important, make it a big deal. And especially if you're talking about 2 to 3 streaming, you know, series, Star Wars series.
Yeah.
You don't need to rush for a movie. Like, you know they're working on movies. You know when the movie going to drop. And you want people to focus on Disney Plus. So, yeah, have the Mandalorian drop. Then have, you know, what's his name? Obi-Wan show drop. Then start talking about, we'll start filming for the next Star Wars movie. Then drop, you know, the Rogue One prequel one. Then boom. We got more. Because Rian Johnson working on a trilogy and Benioff and Weiss are working on a trilogy. And they're like, this is going to be Star Wars movie. This not to be every year.
So do you think Star Wars, like, going forward, the movies are the way to go? Or if this Disney Plus takes off, that
both.
Is that the way to go?
No, both. They don't got to choose. And the whole thing is like, you know, streaming is nice and everything like that. But even decent Star Wars movies drop $1 billion. You ain't just walking away from $1 billion. Because streaming is big here. Like, Netflix is big worldwide. Everybody else is just big here. Disney is in the position like, we want everybody's money. We do that by getting movies, not just, you know, you want to. That's the whole thing. Like, WWE is like, you know, network. The whole thing is kind of like, you can only get so much locally, and they're trying to get stuff internationally, but you got to give them a product. They can't do – that's why they still do pay-per-views.
Yes, yeah, well.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like whatever, you know, you can cut back on house shows, you can cut back on this and that, but it's like you still do TV shows, and you still do pay-per-views, and you still want to have a, like, worldwide thing. So when you go on tour to these countries, people spend a amount of money to come see you. Same thing with, like, you know, they're going – their main, Disney's main problem with Star Wars is they make money everywhere except for China, because China don't mess with Star Wars, because China didn't grow up on Star Wars.
That's such a weird thing to me.
It's like, it's weird. Trust, you be, I know a lot of people who, like, don't, not just either hasn't seen a Star Wars movie or detest Star Wars. They look at this like, this is trash. Like, this space wizard stuff and swinging their little sticks and all that. They look at this like, this is childish and even more disgust than, like, they look at, like, comic movies. Like, people, I know people that have a serious, like, people don't like Star Wars, they really don't like Star Wars at all. Like, it's a level of disgust there that was like, wow, I know it was like that. I thought you'd be like some indifference, but no, it's people that don't like Star Wars can't stand it.
I guess I can see that, because if a lot of people, I'm guessing, are Star Trek people too, where it's more intellectual, I guess, if you want to put it that way, than Star Wars is. But that's, I mean, that's just, yeah, like, why can't you like one and why can't you like both?
Like, I mean, yeah, but it's like a lot of times when you have to choose, people like choosing because people like competition. In the same way as, like, you know, you grow up using Nintendo or Sega, it was never both, yeah. And even now, you still get that with, like, you know, Xbox and PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, like, so either everyone will have, like, a Nintendo system, and then it's like either you have PlayStation or you have Xbox. Like,
and only now,
only rich assholes have both.
Yeah. So. Well, now that's like what every, like, I want to say professional gamer, but every gamer's got all the systems.
Yeah. So but back then, it's like, she's like, you know, wrestling.
Well, yeah.
WWF or WCW, and it's like, I can definitely relate. I've never liked both at the same time, and I watch both. It's, I've either watched one or the other when I grew up. Like, I watched WWF first, then I went to WCW, then WWF. Like, basically, it was kind of like, I never liked both of them at the same time. I've liked one of the other and, like, something else. Like, you know, it was a time where I might have watched WCW and ECW. But I never, like, watched both WWF and WCW.
Oh, that's interesting.
Things. Because it was kind of like, they were just different. Up until, like, the Monday Night Wars, they were different. Like, it was, you know, if you had a certain mindset, I couldn't picture somebody that could watch, like, a Hulk Hogan match and a Ric Flair match.
Yeah. Well, and,
like,
me.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's two, not like one is better than the other, like, those are two completely different tastes. Like, it's like, it takes a certain mindset to enjoy a WWF match back in the 80s, and it took a different mindset to watch a WCW match or NWA match in the 80s. Like, they were just different. So it wasn't a better or worse thing, but I ain't running, it just seemed weird, like, liking both because it wasn't really close to the same. Same way with Star Wars and Star Trek. Like, they both say star in the name. They both in space, but it's some similarities, but it's a lot of difference in there.
Yeah.
And what I've learned, and you pointed out, is like, I like both, but I'm more in a minority. People either like one or the other.
For me, it's just like an exclusionary thing. Like, why would I? Well, I guess in this way, it's just somebody just absolutely dismissing one or the other. Just because, and it's like, why are you doing that to yourself, man?
Yeah. It's like us with, like, DC and Marvel. Like, I never had anything against DC. I just always grew up with Marvel stuff. I don't know where it started. I don't know where it came from, because I was exposed to DC first with the movies, but I just gravitate toward the comics with Marvel. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was weird. Mine started with G.I. Joe and then Justice League, and then I just started eating up stuff. And I never really – I always went towards DC for some reason. And I know, like, Marvel was the more popular and the bigger sales in that, but it just, I don't know.
I know what it was, and then I realized. DC always felt too old-fashioned. like Batman, Superman, it seemed like, you know, Superman, he corny, Batman, brooding. Like, it's funny, Batman never seemed cool to me in comics. It's just like everything else, like movies and cartoons and stuff. But I'm like, this guy's a weirdo. Like, I don't know what it was with me when I tried to read Batman comics. It just never, like, I thought Superman was corny. I thought Batman was a weirdo. I didn't give a damn about, like, the Flash or the Green Lantern. You know, I wasn't, boy, we didn't read women comics like that, so I didn't, never read Wonder Woman. So, yeah, it was like, you know, I started reading comics, and I read X-Men. And it was mostly X-Men and, like, X-Men related, sometimes Spider-Man. I try to read some of the Avengers. So I'm like, this is trash. Like, I won't lie. Yeah,
Avengers was bad for a long time. There's, like, a reason.
Yeah, I'm like Iron Man. This shit's corny. Like Thor, give this guy. I'm like, and keep in mind, I'm reading the X-Men with Wolverine running around 5'3" with these foot long claws, and I'm looking at Thor like, who is this jackass with a hammer? Like, this looks stupid. Yeah.
No, that's a real thing, man. I mean, the Avengers are the top thing for Marvel right now, but they weren't. I mean, it was the X-Men, and for whatever
it was
reason,
Spider-Man and X-Men, yeah, because it's like they were cool. Like, Spider-Man was cool for a certain age group, and X-Men was cool for other certain age. Like, X-Men was cool and edgy and stuff like that. I don't like it. So it wasn't until later I start delving more DC. I think when they start doing movies. You know what really led me toward it? One, the CW shows, and then being friends with you. I experienced more DC stuff. Because there's a lot of stuff I have no idea about, and I learned from being friends with you, and then learning from, like, watching the shows. And I think, because just like I learned a lot of Marvel stuff from those cartoons in the 90s, I learned a lot of CW, like a lot of DC stuff from those CW shows.
Yeah, I know. They've kind of gotten away from that stuff on the CW shows, because they used to leave little hints here and there, and now the hints aren't there because they just do it.
Yeah,
it's a total change in philosophy. Like, before, they would mention, like, the metamorphosis process. You're like, what? And all of a sudden, like, hey, Metamorphosis is going to be in a show. I'm like, huh? Like, wait, what happened to the Easter eggs? That was just part of the fun, but...
I mean, now...
And now I'm getting a metamorpho. That's fine with me.
Yeah, so. Now now this whole thing is like their Easter egg is we're taking stuff from old shows. Like, we're going to take the Flash from the 90s. We're going to have we knew Brandon Roth was Superman, so we're going to have him play Superman again. Like, they use Easter eggs from... Like, their Easter egg is we're going to take the voice of Batman and have him be old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. It's like, guys, that's not an Easter egg, though. Like,
I mean, but it's like, cool. It's the whole thing is like we're embracing not only comic history, we're embracing comic TV history.
Oh, yeah.
Like, watch those. If you watch these shows, it's a good chance you watch those shows back in the day. So you appreciate stuff like that. And I've noticed that because they do that and Mortal Kombat does that, like embracing stuff. Like, perfect example. Spawn is going to be one of, like, the new characters. Like, you know, they always release character packs for Mortal Kombat. Like, last year was, like, Predator and Jason Voorhees, like that. This year, Spawn, one of them. They got Keith David to do the voice for Spawn.
Cool.
He did the voice when it was on HBO. It's, yeah. Like, something simple like that is kind of like, what percentage would even know that? But the person who would know that more than likely is, like, would probably buy that game. It would probably appreciate the fact that it's something that small. Because you could have got anybody to do the voice, and you went and got the quote-unquote original voice of Spawn.
Well, I think a big part of that, and it goes to, like, the CW shows as well, is that the people doing the stuff now are the ones that grew up with it. So the people who watch the Spawn cartoon are now the guys who are doing this stuff, you know? So they can be like, hey, it'd be cool. Like, live out your dreams, I guess, if you want to put it that way. Or your fantasies. But when it came to, like, the DC comics, to go backwards a little bit, my big initiation, like, my favorite comics way back were Suicide Squad and then Justice League. Which is a weird comic. Like, Suicide Squad's a weird comic to be buying when you're a kid, just for the title. And knowing, like, almost every issue someone dies. It's pretty crazy. So, but yeah, so it's like, that's why I was so hyped when the Suicide movie came out, and then, well, oh well. But
yeah, and now they're doing it.
Yeah.
See, and it's funny, it's like a sequel to Suicide Squad directed by the guy that did Guardians of the Galaxy with cast members from the original, from the first Suicide Squad. Because first, like, are they going to just reboot it? And it's like, yeah, it's going to be rebooted. And it's like, oh, we're taking characters from the first one. Yeah. And we're just adding it. Like, yeah, we're going to have, yeah, King Shark's going to be in
it. And now we're going to put King Shark in it, which, a big budget King Shark? Oh, boy, that...
I mean, it's like, you don't hire James Gunn and go cheap. And one thing I'll say about Warner Brothers movies, like, they're big time movies, they don't mind spending money, even when they should. Mm-hmm. Like, they cheap with, it's funny where they were cheap when they weren't sure, like with Shazam and Wonder Woman, they didn't spend that much. But Justice League and Suicide Squad, Batman vs. Superman and Aquaman, they were not, none of those movies were cheap.
That's true.
Like, yeah. If you don't do it, do it right. Otherwise, don't do it.
Well, oh, did you see on the Justice League part? Did you see Jason Momoa talking about the Zack Snyder cut?
Oh, Jesus Christ! I hope he was high when he said that.
It's Jason Momoa, so
yeah, it's like, yeah, man, I saw it. My shit,
just,
man.
They're just not letting that die. Like,
let that go, God. Like, it, the whole thing is, even if it exists, it don't matter. It's not going to change things. People are not going to watch that, like, all of a sudden, yeah, we're going to rehire Ben Affleck back. Like, like, sir, like, even, okay, even if it existed and it released it, so what? I mean, yeah, we would all love a better Justice League, but so what?
Yeah, it's like, it's too late.
It's too late. Like, that ship sailed. People have moving toward, like, you know, Warner Brothers is going in a different direction. They're fine, basically, right now. So it wouldn't really change anything, except for, like, oh, you know, we knew Zack Snyder was a genius. And it's like, ugh.
Then we'll slow down.
Yeah, it's just, Zack Snyder makes movies that I enjoyed when I was younger. And now I look at it, I'm like, And when I say movie, it ain't really that many movies of his. It's funny, I like 300, although I don't like it as much as I used to like it.
I haven't seen that since it was in theaters, since I saw it in theaters.
It just plays a lot. And it's like, you know, you only can judge movies based on the time frame when they were made, which is fine. And the movie hasn't changed. I've just changed. And 300 was the coolest. I remember 300 being the coolest thing going when it came out. And when you're a certain age, you watch it, man, it's like, oof.
Dated.
What's going, like, some of the stuff going, like, I'll be wondering about Zack Snyder's mindset sometimes.
Well, he seems like, well, you brought it up too, that he's a real cynical guy. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not surprised.
You know what he is? He is what people think Michael Bay is. Which
fair.
Is hilarious to say in hindsight when you think about that. He is a less restrained, less mature version, less good type of director. He's the lesser version of Michael Bay. When I think about, and I'm like, and that's just such a weird thing to say, considering Michael Bay is not as many things. Restraint is not one of them, especially now. But because I just like, especially. They were showing Sucker Punch on, like, Cinemax or something recently, and I'm like,
I've never seen that all the way through. I couldn't get through that.
I've seen all the way through once. Oof. And I'm like, this seemed like somebody who was 16 years old and like, let me make a movie. And I want to do all the stuff that's cool, like the coolest thing in the world. Because, like, all this stuff is cool if you're a teenager. Zack Snyder's, I mean, you know, you got women dressing up like ninjas and wizards and stuff and anime and robot samurais and cowboys and Gatling guns and Nazis, like all this cool edgy stuff that's going on. And if you're 15 years old, it's cool. If you're 30, you're like, this is just silly. Zack Snyder is a grown ass man, and it's different. Like, Michael Bay makes movies for teenagers, but he's an adult. And he, you know, is like an adult mindset, which is messed up on his own, which is why you'd be having Megan Fox bend over and half his movies. Zack Snyder makes movies like he's a teenager. It's a difference. It's not like he's making movies for teenagers. He makes movies like he's a teenager. You know, because that's the only person. That's the only a teenager would say, yeah, Wonder Woman's sword is red from centuries of blood of her enemies. Ain't no grown. No grown. Can you imagine if like Francis Ford Coppola said some nonsense like that in some interview? David Fincher, something like that. Like, no grown ass man. Is even Tarantino at, like, you know, because he can say some child stuff, but he ain't sounding that damn childish. Like, no, he ain't gonna sound like a damn kid. He'll sound energetic and infectious and obnoxious, but not childish. And Zack Snyder's childish.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing Tarantino will never be accused of, is sounding childish. Tweaking, maybe.
He'll be conservative. I mean, he'll be controversial. He'll pride and be like that, but not. I would never call him childish, even if he does some wild stuff. That's the. I'm like, they really picked up. We've talked about movies basically coming to dumbass luck.
Well, okay. So on like the childish part, and also the last trailer. Did you see the Dolomite trailer?
Yes.
What'd you think of that? Because that's, for me, that was not what I expected.
I think that movie is going to be very good, and I think people going to remember how good Eddie Murphy is when he's energetic about something, and people going to be surprised, because it's like, I don't know what people thought they were going to expect, because it's kind of like, it's basically, you know, how he became Dolomite.
I didn't know it was... I actually thought it was going to be just another Dolomite movie. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh. Biography. Huh?
Yeah, basically, like, wait, we getting a biography about Dolomite? Like, yeah, like a Dolomite origin story. Because it's like, because the whole thing is like, who would think of making that?
And I was like, wait, we're getting a biography or biopic, whatever, about Rudy Ray Moore? Like, huh? And then, to be completely honest, I didn't know a lot about Rudy Ray Moore. So, now that I see that it was all an act and he was wearing a wig and everything, it just kind of took me by surprise and went, he's not as cool as I remember him being now.
Like, I mean, that was the point.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Don't ruin my heroes. That's what I'm trying to say.
But the funny thing is, I remember the Dolomite movies later. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It was meant to be ridiculous. It's like somehow it worked, just because it was like sheer insanity. But like you said, it's a whole generation of people who have they've heard of Dolomite. They have no idea like what's that about. And then the fact that you have Eddie Murphy doing it, like, that's a stacked ass cast.
Cast is ridiculous. Yes.
Okay. And then the fact like he's doing that, he's hosting Saturday Night Live. This year,
first time in 40 years, they said.
Since like what, 84?
Yeah, so 30. I knew 40 was way too much, but
30. Okay, 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's like Eddie Murphy Renaissance, and he'll be doing like a Netflix comedy special.
That's pretty nuts, man. Because you know, as what we were talking about before we started, I'm gonna be very curious to see what he does.
I think he can never. It's funny, like Eddie Murphy, I think, is more capable of navigating today's era if he wants to, and that's the thing, and that's the whole point. He don't have to work. Like Eddie Murphy is like rich,
yeah,
like rich, where I can just have kids. Like even if you don't have to count anything he did in the 80s. None of his Saturday Night Live stuff, no Beverly Hills Cop, Coming to America, Checks, anything like that. And you don't even have to count the 90% stuff. Just Checks off of Shrek. He ain't never got to work.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life. Like, so the fact that he's just, you know, coming back and like decided to like jump in there and just him and Wesley Snipes.
Who may be Dracula in the Blade movie.
Wow.
That, I know we were talking about before, I went, no, don't have Wesley in it at all.
Hell no, have him, because that way people will stop asking. That's how you because people like, how you gonna have Blade? What's he, like, if you're not gonna have him be Blade, the next question is like, how he not gonna be in a movie? There you go.
Oh, it was cool. I saw it. What's the guy's name playing Blade now?
Mahershala Ali.
Yep. So I knew it was, I knew it, but I didn't know how to say it. And I'm just defaulting to you from now on. So I saw a mock-up picture of him as a possibly what Blade would look like. He looks cool. So
he's a cool looking man with he has a face that's made to look cool. So that narrow angular face. So yeah. What a world we live in.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Eddie Murphy making a comeback, being Dolomite.
Which
this saying that sense. Eddie Murphy is, because like,
yeah.
Normally people play, when people do biographies and documentaries, they play people that's more famous than them. Is how it normally works.
Yeah, that's like, fair. Yeah,
because it's like, you know, Jamie Foxx is playing Ray Charles. Jamie Foxx was famous. Everybody knew who Ray Charles was. Way more people know Eddie Murphy than Dolomite. Like, it's a small subset of, like, know who, like, you know. And it's like, even, like, if you knew Dolomite, you know, how many people know Rudy Ray Moore? It's like, if you didn't watch those movies and you didn't grow up in certain households, you didn't know who that was.
Yeah.
So, like, who?
One of my favorite things ever from him. We used to have this at the comic store. It was called Something Weird Video. And so I actually still have it because I don't have a VCR, but I just don't want to get rid of it. And I know you can get it on YouTube, probably all these, but it was a whole 3 hours of nothing but blaxploitation movie trailers. And in between, like every five or something, Rudy Ray Moore hosted it. And he would just be telling jokes. He'd be having his bitches, all this stuff, or his hoes, whatever he called them. Can't remember. And Kevin and I, to this day, still do the same, still, like, we'll still quote stuff from that. The guy was great. And I mean, like I said, to be completely honest, I was a little disappointed to find out that was just like an act. I had no idea it was a character. I just thought it was some guy just dicking around, you know?
Well,
because that's what a lot of those blaxploitation movies were. So,
well, here's the thing. Imagine if you were a movie watcher and you thought of Al Pacino, and the only movies you watched from him was Scarface and Carlito's Way. You swear he was Puerto Rican. He's like, wait,
he's Cuban. Well, he was Cuban, right? Oh,
what?
Yeah, that's true.
I still I'm like,
he.
Okay, Scarface is the 80s. Carlito's Way is like, come on now. We all know Al Pacino. We know he ain't no damn, like, he's Italian. We all know. It's like, and you can't blame, like, it's the 80s anymore. Because and it's funny, it's more believable in that one than in Scarface.
Oh, for sure.
I'm just trying to think, I would say they don't do that anymore. They still do it. They just don't do it as much because it's kind of like now you make jokes about doing stuff like that. We're like, what was the mindset? We just going to have an Italian, like, but then my dumbass swore Razor Ramon was Cuban too.
I'm with you.
Scott Hall, and I'm like, what the hell is, like, boy, they pulled a fast one on me.
I had never seen Scott Hall in AWA. And then I remember him as the Diamond Stud, but he never talked.
Yeah.
So then he shows up in WWE as Razor Ramon. I was like, oh, okay. Well, man, we always bring it up, and it still cracks me up. We still thought Yokozuna, you know.
Japanese.
Thought he was, yeah, so.
From Japan.
And the thing is, you look at him now, and I guess maybe it's because we know, but you look at him going, how the hell we fall for that? Because
he didn't have his beard?
Yeah.
That's why.
Boy, how sad is that, too, that he's dead? Like, a lot of those Samoan guys, though, but you see when he came in, he wasn't a small guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, did he disappear for a while and then come back, like, just huge like that?
Yeah.
All right, because I didn't remember that, and
that's when he came back, that's when he started talking. He had his beard. He started cutting promos. And I'm like, what? Wait a second.
Yeah.
He ain't Japanese? Like, yeah.
I'm trying to. What other wrestlers were out there that claimed to be somebody else but weren't? Like, I know there's a bunch of them.
Johnny B. Bad.
What was Johnny B. Bad?
Exactly.
Wait, isn't Mark Merrill biracial?
Is he?
I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing.
No, I don't know. Now that with your reaction, I'm like,
it's like, because it's funny when you see Mark. If you saw Mark Merrill run around with Sable, and then you see Johnny Bad, it's like, huh? Like you looking? He's like, because when he was in WCW, I swear he was just light skinned.
Yeah.
But then when he became Marvelous Mark Merrill, I'm like, wait a second. Like, what's going on? I mean, of course, Muhammad Hassan is the number one. They had an Italian guy running around. And I'm like, boy.
Wrestling's so great. I know we should like it, but
when you find out what Taz is, you let me know. Because that's the other one.
He's just from the Bronx. It's a mutt.
That man is orange.
It's just a mixture of different stuff.
I never knew, especially when he cut his hair. So I'm like, first I thought maybe he's Samoan, and then he cut his hair. So I'm like, I have no idea what Taz is.
Taz just kind of America?
He's like,
he's a melting pot. He's a literal melting pot of
with Taz Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's where Taz is from. But no, you've had people fake voices, but you haven't had, you don't do the race faking any. Oh, I would say that, but then we got Lacey Evans running around tomorrow. I'm just G.I. Joe. That damn phony.
That's true. I'm trying to, well, I guess that's the most recent, but like just classics. Well, Paul Diamond obviously was Kato of the Orient Express. Whatever. But I mean, Pat Tanaka, wasn't he Hawaiian?
He might have been.
Yeah. So,
like it's when you're from the island, you could be from anywhere. Like you basically can be, you can basically be Cliff Curtis, who's played everything. So that's the whole thing. If you're not from Samoa, you from the island, you could be from any island.
I just love wrestling. Just for this sort of goofy stuff.
But no, with the women, they do it because a lot of times you have no idea. Like Lana's like four different things. You have no idea. She's Russian, but I think.
Well, she was born here and raised in Russia.
Yeah, but she also got like some Latin.
And,
yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, Victoria was like Turkish and Puerto Rican.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like how's that, you know, how's that work? Like Candace Michelle was like, what's it, like Costa Rican and something else. Like, yeah, with the women, you never know. Wow. Like if it's Charlotte, they can be anything.
Yeah, Bailey, I think, is Hispanic, right?
Yes, Bailey's Hispanic. And people made a joke like Bailey's Hispanic and never acts it. Sasha Banks is black and acts Hispanic. People have made that joke on Twitter. So, yeah, it's like, that's the whole thing. You never know. Like, you know, Maxine, she's Earth.
Yeah.
I was watching NXT. They had a breakdown after like the fourth race. I'm like, so she's like Chinese, Hawaiian, German, Native. Like, okay, she's human.
Yeah. After a while, it's like, whatever. It's like, have you ever done one of those 23andMe's or whatever?
I have.
Oh, have you really?
Yes, I have. I certainly have. So I'm glad you brought it up.
Anything of interest?
I am 94% black.
Oh, I am
2% Asian. 2% Native, like, you know, basically, like, I think it was, like, Korean and Vietnamese. I'm, like, 1.8% Native American. Uh-oh. And then I'm, like, 0.8% Irish. So I can
Wait. So I was going to make a joke about you getting what are those things called with the,
a shamrock.
Dream catcher tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Me and my man Conor McGregor.
Oh my god, that's great.
Yes, I was curious just to see how the breakdown was, and I was like, yeah. So no, because sometimes people be surprised. Oh, they find out, oh, they ain't really my daddy. The wrong type of surprise. So yeah, but no, wrestling is weird, like, because they've just done that. But it's like, you know. I was thinking about that because somebody was complaining about how a moonsault is stupid because you turn your back to your opponent, you can't see. I'm like, when you run in the ropes, you don't see your opponent either. So what are you talking about?
we need to do that. That's got to be one of our shows. We need to do a breakdown of wrestling moves. Like, the dropkick's always one where if you hit it, you're fine. If you miss it, it hurts. Reversing a figure four, just going through all the different moves, like how silly it is. So we'll have to work on that one. But
yeah, like, how come a powerbomb hurts way more than a body slam?
And no one does body slams anymore, except like a power slam.
Yeah, so. That hurt, you do it. So, but no, wrestling physics has always been a, I don't know what age. It's like paying attention to wrestling physics when I realized that wrestling was like predetermined. Because before, I never paid any mind, and then I got a certain age. I was like, wait a second, that don't make sense.
Yeah, but since we're on it, we got to wrap up too. Are you watching AEW this weekend?
Someone asked me. I am on the fence. I work, but I work morning shifts, so I'll be off in time to order it. Like NXT running UK doesn't sway me anyway, because like I don't watch it that much. So
I'm actually looking forward to that one quite a bit. So
yeah, it's like if I'm gonna watch AEW, see, like I'm gonna watch AEW. I'm not gonna watch. It's not gonna be because of like NXT UK. Like I said, like I don't know how I feel about AEW yet, honestly. It's like, it's some things I like, it's some things I don't like, it's some things I'm not sure about, and it's just like, I don't want to get tired of this whole thing, like, oh, you watch AEW, you're a pawn for Vince. Like, fuck off. Like, I'm a grown-up. We already doing it, they haven't even had a TV show yet, and people are already doing that crap.
I think it's okay not to like them, because why would you? And what I mean by that is, what have they done? I was talking to Elise about this, because they're coming to Charlotte in November. And she's like, are we getting tickets? And I'm like, what's this Wii stuff? And then I was like, well, yeah. So
what's this Wii stuff? Well, come on, Nintendo.
She never goes. Like, I go to my buddy Fraser. We go to all the wrestling stuff, and all of a sudden she's like, well, I'd be interested in that one. I'm like, I'm not buying three of them. So, I don't know. You can sit this one out. But anyways, I was telling her that they've only had, what, three events?
Something like that.
So we have, honestly, we have nothing to go by. And, this well, well I guess said, three. Basically. And really, some of that stuff for them was not good. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine to say you're not going to watch it. It doesn't mean that, or that you don't know how to feel about it, because we don't have a whole lot to go off of. I mean, we got their, like, cute... Like, I watch the shows. I mean, if it wasn't the first weekend for college football, I'd probably get it. But Michigan plays at 7:30 on Saturday, so there's no chance in hell I'm paying to watch AEW when Michigan's on. It's just not going to happen. So
I don't know. It's kind of like, I think AEW, and I like the concept, but I'm not sure if I like the actual thing, because it's like, you know, especially with... Moxley being hurt because of staff, and that's, you know, take care of that. That shit ends careers.
Well, that's
all.
He almost died from that the last time he had an elbow problem. So
yeah, like staff's no joke. No. Especially if it's Mercer. Like, get that. Especially now, when a lot of that is like, you know, saw that thing that they had one like strain bacteria was like how you treat it, nothing, because it was basically resistant to everything because people overuse antibiotics. Like, yeah, that's. Like, that shit's sucks. No... Yeah, it certainly sucks. Like, what you gonna do? Hope it works out, champ. That's what we gonna do. Nothing. So, I mean, and it's like, I like Cody Rhodes' success more than, like, actually watching him wrestle.
That's very fair, yes.
Yeah, you know, like, Cody Rhodes, the businessman and the promoter, awesome. Cody Rhodes, the wrestler, just okay. Like, he ain't bad, he's good, but it's not like he's not great. Kenny Omega's bringing the ring, he's a cornball. Now let's see, this always come off corny to me. I can't stand the Young Bucks. So those are the top people right there, and I don't like none of them. So
well,
I'm
with you on Kenny Omega, but did you see the promo that they were doing? I think it was either Being the Elite or Road to All In or All Out, whatever this one is. where he finds out during it that Moxley, like, he was serious, but then he finds out Moxley's out during the middle of it.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's a totally different aspect to him. And I was like, holy shit, if he can turn, like, a real, like, serious promo like this, he really could be one of the biggest stars.
Yeah, like, I know he can do serious because I saw him in that Street Fighter commercial where he's pretending to be Hagar from Final Fight. So, and he was serious in that, too. And it's like, you know, Sean Spears, he's still...
Whatever.
He's still Peyton Royce's husband to me.
Yeah, like, I've had this discussion with my buddy Frazier, Kevin, Chris, you. I didn't get it. You know, like, he was doing the 10 thing, that was cool. But after that...
Like, it's a show. It's Zack Ryder with a different haircut.
Yeah.
Well, in a smaller body. So, yeah. Like, I don't have any ill will. It's just a lot of people either I don't know or don't care about. And they, you know, you got Pentagon Jr. Phoenix, and you're like, we got him. That's cool. What? Like, no. That's the thing. It's a lot of us, to me, is like they hyping the wrong people. Like, they're not hyping the right people. They're hyping the wrong people.
Yes, but because I think right now it's still that vanity thing. You know, it's them. So once the TV show starts, it's got to change, right?
It has to. It's like you got Pentagon. Like, we all know Pentagon from Lucha Underground. And, of course, he's Superman. And Phoenix is probably, like, top three high flyers on the planet. And they, like, oh, they cool. We're going to let them wrestle a little bit with the Young Bucks. Like...
But those guys in a ladder match, I mean, honestly, all right, if you're going match quality, that show could be fantastic because mm-hmm. you got those two teams, and then you've got, Kenny Omega and Pac.
Yeah, I like Pac.
Yeah, I like him a lot too. We're not supposed to.
Yeah, and you know, a perfect place to wrap up to be like missed opportunities. I saw clips of Cain Velasquez. I hear stories about New Japan wanting him. I'm thinking the fact that WWE is like, you can go to NXT and train. And I'm like, boy, y'all missed the ball on that one.
Yeah. If they really want to get a bigger Hispanic audience, because, which I don't believe they do anyways, but.
Oh, they certainly do.
Well, then why do you, all right. Why do you treat Andrade like, if you really want, push the guy.
Here's the thing. They want to, they just don't know how to. It's the same thing. Like, same thing with they've always won a big black star babyface, and they've always pushed the wrong ones. It's kind of like, we always want another Rock, and we always wanted another Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio. They just don't know how to do it. It's like, we're going to push Alberto Del Rio. Oof. Yeah. Because that was the whole thing. They definitely won it. They just don't know how to do it.
Man, Twitch always plays old. Like, Impact Wrestling has a channel on Twitch. And they play old matches all day long, or like top 10s or top 5s, just in this. And they had it was Alberto El Patron. I forgot how bad he was. I'm sorry, I know he was supposed to be good, but what a snoozer he was in the ring.
He looked big and imposing, and he wrestled soft.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was like he wrestled delicate, like,
and he's supposed to be an MMA fighter, which yeah. I'm not. Obviously, he's trained. He'll probably whip the shit out of us, but by the looks of it, you'd pick us over him.
Yeah, that was the thing. It's like he looked a certain way, he wrestled a different way, and it just didn't translate. I was like, this guy wrestles soft. It's baby shit. Yeah. Like, he ain't a small man, but no, it's like I see clips. I'm like, one, just the fact that Cain Velasquez at that age and that wear and tear is out there doing Hurricanranas and Lucha Libre spots.
Yeah.
It's like, no, companies see him like, imagine like New Japan, like, yeah, we want to do business with you. He went to WWE at the Performance Center. He gave them a chance for them to sign him first, and they like, we don't see, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know who made
New Japan's like, we've had a pretty good track record with MMA fighters, yeah. So.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know who made that decision, but whoever made the decision made the wrong decision. Because Cain Velasquez has he's well-known from RB and UFC. He's well-known in the Latin community. You want to have a Latin star with, like, credibility.
Yep.
He walked to your door, and you treated him like he was a Mormon.
Well, maybe they have his 23andMe, so they know.
And it's just funny just seeing that and like thinking like, wow, this is what a weird time in wrestling. Like, I know eventually they gonna make the call to John Jones if they, you know. I mean, he at that age, like Daniel Cormier is too old, and I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think he wants to do it at his age. He's talked about that.
Yeah, well, I think. That was his last fight, was it?
But it's kind of like, you know, he got more fights behind him than ahead of him. Like, he left. It's like, you got nothing else to prove at this point.
Well, I don't think he was intending on losing. So he was still holding out hope for that Brock Lesnar fight, which is never going to happen. So
yeah, because Brock, like, I ain't fighting no more. I'm just because, like, why fight if you Brock? You just make WWE money till you decide not to make money anymore. But yeah, it's kind of like, because you wonder, and who would they get next? That's like a big time.
No idea.
I mean, if it's going to be somebody, I don't know if John Jones wants to do it. And I don't think Gronk. I know people talk about Gronk, maybe, but it's like, I don't know.
All right. Maybe. I know we got to get out of here, but this Gronk stuff pisses me off.
Why?
He's that goofy bastard. Like, he doesn't look coordinated in the ring. Like, that one time he was in the ring, he looked so awkward. Like, he's just an awkward guy. I don't know how he was so successful at football.
Because you compare his awkwardness and wrestling, and you thinking about, like,
yeah, this man
all time, and it ain't close, even with all the injuries. Like, you know why he was so successful? Because he was bigger, stronger, and faster than almost everybody that was covering him.
That's
why. I mean, it kind of helps because, like, the people that was as fast as him, he was, like, 5 to 6 inches bigger and 30, 40 pounds heavier. And if people his size, he way faster than. So, yeah, when you just bigger, better, and faster than everybody, and you got skill and you tough, you're going to be good. So you can always train. Like, if you don't got two left feet, you can always do something. So if he, I know people talked about, like, you know, if he wanted to, I don't know if he wants to do it or not, you know, because, like, one, it seemed like he just want to heal from football because I don't blame him. The stuff, it's funny, the stuff you hear, like him and Andrew Luck. I was just laughing, like, Andrew Luck, I'm like, that man was pissing blood. Forget all that.
I talked about this on Stunt Granny with Kevin. I was shocked, not at reporters or fans or whatever. I was shocked when other retired football players were questioning him, like his toughness or like his decision and question. I'm going.
My whole thing, like, which ones? That's the ones I want to know, because I punched him, because I saw Troy Aikman cuss out a few. I'm like,
yeah.
Y'all,
well, it was a Fox Sports colleague. Yeah, he got all over him, as he should. Because he had to retire because of concussions.
Yeah.
And that was before we knew, like,
what concussions did. Yeah.
No, Andrew Luck leaving, I was shocked, obviously, like everybody was. But
yeah, when he's.
He started to break down during. Oh my. Do you have the Clemson game on, by the way? Okay, some chick just flashed the screen.
Oh.
Wow.
You ain't there with DX, we got two words for
okay.
you.
Okay. Sorry.
Flashed it for Dabo.
I forgot what he was talking about. But, oh, that's right. I forgot Bobby Johnson's no longer at Georgia Tech. Anyways, sorry, titties just took it all out of me. What was? Oh, when people were criticizing him, like, then during that press conference, he broke down almost, composed himself, and then he goes, "It's not that I don't want to play. It's not that I don't have the desire to play. I'm tired of playing, getting hurt, rehabbing. Tired. I'm just playing, getting hurt, rehabbing. Rehabbing, rehabbing, getting hurt, rehabbing." I'm going, "Wow." When you put it like that, and then you could just see in his face, like, I just don't want to do this. He's only 30 years old. He's got $100 million in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun, my friend. I mean,
yes.
You can do whatever you want. So,
I mean, basically, it's like...
With your health.
Yeah, and it's like, what's the point? Like, and it's funny where at least more people... It was some people said, oh, you queer like that, but more people understood. Because it's like, we see what football, like, now we understand. Before, it's kind of like, is football that bad? Now we know football that bad. Because, yeah. Like, how many people got to keep retiring, like, 29 or 30 before we realize it's like, yeah, it's a thing? Because I remember when Barry Sanders retired, and I remember people got on his ass.
Yeah, I was like, pissed too.
This quitter, he left, yada, yada, yada.
Well, not that, I'm just mad he left.
Yeah, and then it got to the point where it's like, oh, when Calvin Johnson left, he was like, damn, what's Detroit doing that his stars are leaving? All like, you know, Patrick Willis was like 29 to 30, retired. Like, people like 28, 29, I'm done. I make enough money.
Yeah.
What's the point? Like, because we kind of brush over, oh, you know, broken rib. Those hurt.
All that stuff hurts.
Yeah. Hurts, sports hernia. Punctured lung. I used to hear the stuff Steve McNair used to go through. I'm like, who is he, Mankind?
Well, you remember, was it Steve Craig that played for the Seahawks, or Dave Craig?
Dave Craig.
He was playing with, like, the pins and all that in his non-throwing hand. And then it was during the playoffs, and he was like, I'm not going to play doing one of those things. And, you know, he got hit. Like, he hit his hand on someone's helmet with, like, the pins and all that sticking in. And I'm going, as a kid, you're like, wow, that guy's really tough. And as an adult, I'm going, that guy's really tough, but that's not necessary, my friend. Like,
it's stupid.
Oh. Like, I know it's your non-throwing hand, but who cares?
It's still pain, like, yeah. Non-throwing hand. They, you know, bro. Somebody played with Jack Lum, young boy, played a broken leg.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl, like, what are you doing? It's no. I just, like, you know, Phillip Rivers played with a torn ACL. Just wrap it up. I can like, no.
What?
I'm not doing it. Like, cause
football players are a different breed. I don't think there's any arguing that. Like MMA fighters.
Yeah, I'm in hockey play. They all insane. Like, oh, you just gotta buff it up for the organization. Yeah, I had a, but you know, sprain, you know, lower body injury. Or broke three bones in my leg and feet. They've been broke, you know.
I scored a goal.
That defenseman on the Senators, that's not a Senators anymore, Carlson.
Yeah.
He's playing on a broken foot for like a couple of months. Like, no, I don't love my job that much. Yeah.
The worst I heard was Steve Yzerman playing when the bone, all the cartilage and everything in his knee was gone. So the bones were actually rubbing on each other.
Mm-hmm.
During the playoffs, and then he missed like almost the entire next season. And I just, I was an adult then, I mean, early 20s, but just listening to that going, that sounds terrible. And that's like an understatement.
Yeah.
Something's terrible.
Aaron Lindros damn near died. Yes. He's like, oh, what's wrong? You got a cold?
Yep.
Like a collapsed lung. They put him on a plane. Fucking Bobby Clark. Like, oh my God. Like, I'm just, ooh, like, oh, well, you know, I guess you wouldn't complain about missed tooth if people come back from cancer.
Yeah.
Like Mario Lemieux, like, it's just, no, you sick days. It's this whole, we do it, like, and we do it in wrestling, too. That whole, we can write, like, you know, Triple H, he finished a match with a torn quad. He's a fucking idiot.
Yep. And then what happened? He tore another one. And then what happened? He tore it again. And then he ripped his pec. And it was like, okay, so.
Yeah, like, no. You know, like, although I still laugh at this man.
Both of them.
Real rumble. Because I was watching. I'm like, why is he sitting down?
Why is he sitting there?
And then you found he's no-selling. He blew out both legs. What did you do to your body to You work out, Jeremy. Grab your leg. Feel how thick it is.
Oh, I know.
Imagine that tearing.
I often do that. Like, when we're doing, like, I actually did, I think we talked about off air, but I actually did a handstand push-up. I did 24 of them the other day. And I'm not exactly what you call a light person. And it was just one of those, I got a wild hair up my ass. And then we had to do them yesterday. I didn't do one of them. Because I was like, how the hell did I do this? Because it started getting in my head, like, your shoulders aren't shoulder socket doesn't have any muscle. So I don't feel like looking like a plane after a while, but yeah. But anyways, let's get out of here. So Yeah, so Stunt Granny, or we watched off on your social media. You can find us. Audio updates, Stunt Granny, on iTunes specifically, actually. So, yeah, everyone, I'm Jeremy. We'll get at you next week, and I'll let Shahid O'Houlihan take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid O'Houlihan, and top of the morning to you. We are out.